Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. This morning in the studio with me, I've got a guest who's going to talk to us all about honeybees and particularly overwintering honeybees in Alaska. So welcome to the studio, Nathan.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. And how many different ways can I introduce you, Nathan? I wasn't sure which title you wanted me to use besides beekeeper. What else are you?
I own a health food store. I'm an amateur jewelry maker.
Oh, okay. Lots of things.
But basically, yeah, mainly I run my store and keep bees, and that's pretty much takes up most of my time.
Okay, yeah. Very good. I always like to start the show, Nathan, with my guests telling us a little bit about themselves, their connection to Alaska. And then because it's Ag Matters Radio, obviously bees are connected to agriculture, but any other, you know, agriculture ties that you have?
No, that's about it right there. I do keep my bees at a couple different farms. The Whitaker farm.
Oh yeah.
Pam and Bill Whitaker, you know, yep. Pam's Carrots and Bush's Bunches in the Butte.
Okay. And how long have you been in Alaska?
Since 1983, so about 34 years.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah. Left for a year and came right back.
And what got you interested in beekeeping?
Well, I sell honey at my health food store, and I had a hard time acquiring honey. And at the time, I was having a hard time with not just the reliability of being able to get it consistently, but some people make honey on their stove, you know, and it's not exactly honey, but, you know, sometimes you didn't find out about that until after you purchased it. So, and I was just curious about it, and just the idea of being able to put the bees out there and then they do the work. I like that idea.
So. Yeah. You know, that's a question that I used to get when I worked at the Division of Agriculture. People would ask about honey, and I was at a friend's house once. I'm not an Alaskan. I was at an Alaskan friend's house, and she was making this like syrup mixture on the stove, and I saw her add like sugar and water and then like fireweed petals. And she was like, well, I'm making honey. And I thought, well, that's not honey. Like bees make honey. But so there's a lot of that out there, right? A lot of people make syrups and mixtures and things that aren't honey, right?
Yeah. And you know, they're pretty honest about it if
sure.
you ask them straight up. But a couple times I actually bought it not just being green and not knowing what the heck I was doing.
Yeah.
And then would figure it out afterwards that I didn't have actual honey, but just sugar water, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Well, Nathan, so I promoted this show a little bit on our Alaska Farmland Trust Facebook page, and we got a ton of questions. And this half hour goes by super fast, so I want to kind of jump right into the questions if
Let's
you're okay with that.
Absolutely.
Okay. Because people are really excited about beekeeping in Alaska. And of course, I mentioned that you have successfully overwintered bees. And so that's where the majority of the questions came in. So one of the first questions and a question that came in a lot was, is it economical? Is it economical to keep bees over the winter in Alaska?
Well, yeah, I would say so. Honeybees were almost $200 this year, and they're going to go up again next year.
Okay. So what does that mean when you say that? Like, if I'm buying bees, let's just start from as if they have no idea what we're talking
right.
about.
Right. So to start a hive, you usually purchase a 4-pound package of honeybees. Some people were selling 3 pounds this year, but normally it's a 4-pound package that comes with a single queen.
Okay.
And that's enough to start one hive. And this year that was $185 to start with, but by the time May rolled around, they were as high as $210.
Wow. Okay.
And next year it'll go up.
And where are those bees mostly coming from?
California.
Okay.
Off the almond pollination, basically.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
The queens will come from different areas, but the worker bees themselves come off the almond pollination.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you get this package at the post office?
Yeah, usually there are major suppliers that bring them up. So people buy them from one of the suppliers.
Like from a truck or something. Like.
Yeah, and they'll have different pickup points. Our store in Eagle River is a pickup point. There's several in the valley as well.
Okay.
Anchorage.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one of the costs that you're saving if you overwinter your bees. You're not having to buy that new. Okay.
Yes, and, you know, it's not like they just disappear. You do, if you're not overwintering your bees, you physically have to kill them. So that's not something that I've ever wanted to do and I've ever done. And I don't know that I would even keep bees if that was the... That was what I had to do.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So how, what was the first winter? How many winters have you successfully overwintered bees now?
I think this last year was my 8th winter.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Successful winter, I should say. The first winter was not successful, but I only had one hive. The second year I had 8 and I did lose 6 of them.
Oh, but okay.
The third year, I went a little crazy with it, and I had 20, and I got 17 of them through the winter. So,
oh, my goodness.
That was probably my best winter. It was really warm, wasn't a lot of snow, but I've been able to consistently get about 70% of them
to through survive. The winter. Wow.
And like this year in particular, the new colonies or the new hives that people started are not doing, most of them are not doing all that great, at least the ones that I'm hearing from.
Whereas, it would have been a wet, yucky spring.
Yeah, May was really wet and cold. But my overwintered colonies are doing great because they're mature hives. They already have pollen stores. And, you know, and I also didn't hardly have to do anything with them. I didn't even touch them until about mid-May.
Okay. So. All right. So one of the next questions is about specialized equipment. Do you need a bunch of specialized equipment to overwinter bees?
No, I do recommend high-density polystyrene hives, which we carry at Regeneration Nutrition in Eagle River. Steve Victor's also carries them. I don't recommend ordering them yourself because it doubles the cost with the shipping. If you can get them from a local supplier, it saves you a lot of money.
So. Okay, very good. And so is it possible to buy beeswax from local beekeepers?
Yep. You can hit me up.
Okay. All right. And okay. So this question is about processing. What processing is necessary? And I guess that's in relation to the beeswax.
To the beeswax?
Or maybe not. I don't know. This is a foreign topic to
me.
So
okay.
If you think...
was it the same person?
It was. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I actually use a solar wax melter, and we collect extra wax year round, pretty much.
Okay.
Every time you get in the hive, you end up having to scrape a little wax off here and there.
Okay.
And then I put it on top. I have basically a styrofoam box that's painted black inside and outside with plexiglass on the top. And then I set the wax on top of a screen, and I've got little tin foil baking pans that, you know, people make banana bread and stuff like that in. And it just, the sun hits the wax, melts it, and it drips through the screen. And that's how I get my little bricks.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. There. So if people are looking for that, you have that at the health food store?
I do.
And okay.
I would think there's probably plenty of other folks that do as well.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. This is fascinating. I mean, there's so many parts to this. And again, and so many more questions. I want to remind folks that they're listening to Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and in the station with me this morning is Nathan, one of our resident beekeepers, and we're talking about all things honeybees and specifically overwintering bees. All right, so next question is about the type of bees.
Ah.
So another thing that I was not aware of, there's lots of different types of bees.
Yes,
what types are you keeping?
Well, they are all... All the bees that I keep are Apis mellifera, which is the European honeybee.
Okay.
There's the Italian honey. The main three breeds are Italian, Carniolan, and Russian.
Okay.
I mainly keep the Russian and Carniolan because they can withstand our winters, whereas Italians can, but at a much lower percentage. I think I just got my first two Italian hives through the winter this last season. I think that's the first time I ever successfully... overwintered Italians.
Okay.
So I think I got lucky there.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are some of the what makes those types of bees different?
Yeah, that's a good question. So one thing that's really cool about the Russian honeybee is that so one of the biggest problems with honeybees in America and probably in the world is something called Varroa mites.
Right.
They're a parasitic mite that attach themselves to the bees, usually inside. So to just back it up a little bit, the queen bee lays eggs in the honeycomb. That egg hatches in a couple days into a larvae, and then that larvae then basically weaves a cocoon inside the cell, and the cell is capped. And then at about 20 days total, the bee emerges. The mice lay their eggs inside the cell with the larvae.
Okay.
And they feed on the larvae and try to attach themselves to the honeybee and basically drain their life
before they even really get going.
Yeah, they'll pass some diseases like deformed wing disease. And the Russian honeybee has been exposed to the mites way longer than the Caucasian and the Italian.
Okay.
So the Russian honeybees are known for being more resistant to these mites.
Okay, so, very interesting.
And the most winter hardy as well.
Okay.
Other than that, you know, some people will say some are more grouchy than others. I can't really tell the difference.
Okay.
They all tend to sting me from time to time.
All right. Okay. So is that if I were wanting to start my own hive, and I called a dealer or whomever I'm going to buy these bees from, is that going to be one of their first questions? I'm going to have to know what variety I want.
Yes, they will ask you that. most of the suppliers will carry Carniolan, which is also a cold weather bee. I believe they originated in Yugoslavia. Most of them carry the Italian and the Carniolan honeybee. So, of course, the Carniolan would be the better one for winter. There's only one supplier that brings in Russians. His name's Keith Malone.
Okay.
From AlaskaHoneybee.com.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay, so another kind of overwintering question. Do you have to have them in a heated area or just a building that is sheltered from the worst cold to winter them over?
No.
Oh, so no, you don't
no,
have to have them.
No, you do not. I leave my honeybees right outside.
No way.
Yes, they are in. I do use the high density polystyrene hives. And if anybody wants to check them out, they can go to betterbee.com. They can stop by the store in Eagle River, Regeneration Nutrition. And they do not sweat moisture like wood does.
Okay.
They basically keep them warmer, obviously, because they have like an R7 insulation value, where wood is like a 1, I believe.
Okay.
There's no drafts because everything fits together perfectly. Although I do use a top and bottom entrance for circulation, that allows them to control that themselves. So if you had a lot of drafts and heat loss, they're not able to control the temperature themselves. With the polystyrene hives, it's a lot easier for them to regulate the temperature inside. So.
Wow. Interesting. When I was preparing for this show, I guess I was just imagining that you would have all these hives stacked up in your heated garage.
Yeah,
or something.
No, in fact, they got pretty buried last year. So, when I got back from Hawaii.
Oh, good
which
for
I
you.
I usually spend January in Hawaii.
So Alaskan of you.
Yeah, I even ran into an Alaskan beekeeper on Molokai this year. That
oh, funny.
Recognized me and wanted me to help him with a swarm he had found. Interesting. Anyways, when I got back from Hawaii, they were just about buried to the lid. So thank heavens for that top entrance, or they would not have had any kind of airflow going on. They would have been completely buried in the snow, encased.
Yeah, but so my assumption is that opening is just for airflow. They're not actually leaving the hive in the winter, are they?
I mean, actually, they do if it gets warm enough.
Okay.
They basically... Well,
and what's warm enough?
Over above freezing.
Okay.
You know,
right.
Usually in the mid 30s. I mean, they basically have to hold their potty break, if you will, until it's warm enough to come outside and relieve themselves and then go back inside. And that's one of the hardest things about surviving a long winter is being able to hold the food that they've been taking over the winter. You know, that and starvation is probably our number one killer up here in the winters, just because it takes so much food for them to produce the energy to heat the hive. The colder it is, the more food they have to eat, basically.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you brought up food, because that's a lot of the next questions is what are they eating?
Honey, hopefully.
Okay. Well, and that's kind of one of the questions is how big a percentage of the honey do you have to sacrifice? Do they need to be allowed to keep some in order to overwinter?
Well, the simple answer to that is no. You can actually take all the honey and feed them back sugar, but it's not the healthiest thing for the bees. Now, some people have said that they winter over better on sugar. I mean, to me, that makes no sense whatsoever. Obviously, bees eat honey. They can survive on sugar, but it's empty calories. Okay. Also, sugar is more alkaline of a pH than honey is. Honey allows them to digest pathogens in their digestive system that the sugar does not allow them to digest. So they can come out of winter with digestive problems. So I do leave them usually 20 to 30 pounds of their own honey, which is probably worth about $300. However, the cost of the bees is going to be $200.
There you go.
And the hives that I get coming out of winter are so much bigger and so much better at producing honey that it's worth it. And also, I'm almost to the point of being self-sufficient. So
20 to 30 pounds of honey that they need to survive a winter, how does that compare to what a typical hive would produce in a season? Like, what percentage is that?
That's usually about a third.
Oh, okay. So it is a significant amount of the honey that they're producing.
Is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But I'm just doing some quick math in my head. I mean, if a typical hive then can produce 80 to 90 pounds, or I'm not good at math, correct me there, 60
well,
to 90.
It's, you know, no matter how good you are at math, it's not that. It's just that every year is different.
Sure.
So it's impossible to predict. We might only get 10 pounds this year. I mean, who knows? This year is really weird. But like last year, I had 25 hives and I got about 2,300 pounds of honey. So that was my best year last year.
And then you saved a portion of that to keep all those hives over the winter?
I just didn't take it out.
Okay.
So
all right.
Also, it saves me the labor of extracting that additional food. The other part of it too is I will feed bees at certain times of year. And so the boxes that they're in, you know, because you stack more boxes on as the year goes. So the boxes that they're in at the time of year that you might be feeding some sugar, I don't want to take honey from there because there might be some sugar in there as well. And so then you're selling people something that's partially sugar.
Okay, so, right,
yeah.
Right. Wow. Nathan, do you like teach classes on this?
Because, I do.
Okay, I was going to say, because I just feel like I'm never going to answer or get all the questions asked and answered that could happen with this. I mean, this is like a full-on, production
deep.
System. And
yeah.
I'm sure you learn something new every season, every day.
Yeah, every day.
Wow. Okay, well, once again, I want to remind listeners that you're listening to Ag Matters Radio this morning, and we're talking all things honeybees with my guest, Nathan Brumley from Regeneration Health in Eagle River, and just one of our local beekeepers, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. So let's get back into these questions, more questions. There's more questions about the food. So can you talk more about that, about different options? Like if you do choose to feed the bees the sugar, is it sugar water?
Yes.
Or are you just putting out sugar? Like what do you
sugar
actually
water
do?
Usually
okay.
I actually last year I got some sugar bricks. They're like 4-pound bricks that I put on top of the hives in February last year, and I think that saved quite a few of them from starving.
Oh,
it was
okay.
So cold that they went through their food stores a lot faster.
Yeah.
We got kind of spoiled the previous 4 or 5 years with how warm it was.
Yeah.
And last year was definitely a real winter.
Right, right. Yeah, and now we're getting a real Alaskan summer, so
yes.
Many people say, right? And I'm like, what? hot. Like, this can't be what it's supposed to be like.
Right.
I want those nice, all those nice days. Although today is gearing up to be
it's gorgeous.
Beautiful day. I saw some fireweed blooms this week. Are you seeing them too?
I noticed that.
Yeah.
You notice the flowers now, which I never paid attention to. So
yeah. So that's good for the bees though.
Fantastic.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're finally getting the fireweed.
Yeah. So you mentioned a couple of different farms where your hives are at. So that's obviously a huge benefit to the farmer to have those hives at their property, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And one thing that I did want to mention about overwintering as well is that, you know, when I got into this, I wanted to be self-reliant. You know, I didn't want to have to buy bees every year. And that's hard not to have to buy some every year. But, you know, there was a shipment of bees, about 400 packages of bees that didn't make it up this year.
Oh, wow.
You know, a lot of people were not able to get their bees. And if you don't know how to winter, it is something that takes some trial and error to learn how to do. At least it did for me. And if I was just now starting to experiment with that, you know, it would probably be another 3 or 4 years before I really knew what I was doing. And, you know, with the cost going up and the availability going down, if you want to continue to be a beekeeper, you really should learn to winter the bees.
Right. Yeah. Wow. That's a lot of people then that didn't get bees.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah. And, you know, I track agricultural news from across the country, and you hear stories about things like this, bee loss. I mean, like, there was a story about a truck crashing, you know, and hives everywhere and things like that. So huge negative impact on the industry when those things happen. Yeah. So I want to make sure people know how to find more information, because I'm assuming that if folks are listening, this has led to more questions and more interest. So where can people go to connect with you, to find more information, to start making their plan for next year, to attend a class that you might offer?
Absolutely.
Where's all that information?
So you can go to my Facebook page at Sustainable Beekeeping Alaska. You can go to the store Facebook page, which is Regeneration Nutrition, but it is spelled R-I. Regeneration is spelled R-I instead of R-E.
Okay.
The phone number is 907-622-1829. You can also go to Alaska Bee Club Facebook page, alaskabeeclub.com.
Okay.
I'm a moderator on Alaska Bee Club. AlaskaBeeClub.com is Keith Malone's website. AlaskaHoneyBee.com. AlaskaHoneyBee.com has a bee school link.
Oh, okay.
And a
bee
lot
school.
Of yeah. So a lot of what I'm talking about is I've gotten from there. I'm still a student in this. This is my 8th or 9th year. But you never stop learning. I mean, I feel like I'm just beginning, really.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, you hear that in all aspects of agriculture. It was interesting when you said that, well, you know, it's farming, so you never know. And I mean, I could hear the same exact thing from a vegetable producer down the road that,
right.
you know, well, yeah, the crops are 3 weeks behind, but it's farming. So, you know, it's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, it sounds like there's a lot of information available out there for folks that might be interested. Now, is this something that, say I live in the middle of a subdivision and I have a 1/4-acre lot and a nice healthy yard, can I keep a hive of bees or do I need more space?
Actually, you only need enough space to set the hive and be able to manage it. In other words, to access it. Now, depending on where you live, there's different regulations, but I believe in Anchorage, you can have something like 4 hives on an acre, something like that.
They regulate the number of hives you can have?
In Anchorage.
Oh, of course. These, okay.
Now, I also believe there's a regulation that says that, and this is only if your neighbor complains, but they can make you move it 20 feet away from the property line.
Okay.
But you don't specifically need a certain amount of acreage because the bees go out for miles in every direction.
Miles?
Miles, yeah. My bees from Bush's Bunches probably visit downtown here.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably 2 miles away. So,
wow.
If necessary, if there's not enough flowers right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So ideally, you'd probably want them in a place where there's lots of food sources around them, right?
Yeah, and that's pretty much almost anywhere in the valley.
Okay.
This is a almost anywhere you can go here is great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Miles. I can't really imagine, but yeah. Okay, I believe
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Yeah, they're...
So you don't need a lot of space.
Nope.
You need you just need a spot to set that hive up. And then you need to have all these tools and equipment and things that you've mentioned previously.
Yep, yep. And the best thing is to do two hives.
Okay.
It just makes you, again, more self-sufficient. There's a lot of problems you can address with one hive if you have a second hive. In other words, like if you're queenless in one hive, you can actually take a comb, a honeycomb with eggs in it, and put it in your queenless hive, and they'll make a new queen. So there's different
really?
Things like that that you can do if you have two hives that you can't do if you only have one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So two is better than one.
Okay. Two is better than one. Good to know. So that initial investment, you know, be thinking about that if you're mapping this out to see if it pencils out for you. The resident expert says two is better than one.
Two is the way to go.
Okay. What are some other tips that you would throw out to people that are considering this?
Get some actual protective gear.
Okay. Because honeybees will sting you. People say, oh no, honeybees don't sting.
They do sting.
Okay.
Especially when you're getting into their hive.
Okay.
And especially people that have a lot of hair, get a real veil or suit or something. Because once those bees get in your hair, it can be a real problem. So get some actual protective gear so that you don't have a bad experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that also something available locally, or do we have to like Amazon shop that?
We carry all that stuff. It's also important to get it with the right kind of zippers, the right kind of veil. Otherwise, they fall apart pretty quickly. We carry all that stuff. I own a health food store, but over the last 4 or 5 years, out of necessity, it's become a beekeeping supply store as well.
Okay.
So
it sounds like you've got all the things.
We do.
That's good. That's great to have a local resource and to not have to shop outside for that. So Two hives are better than one. Get a good suit.
Yeah.
One kind of final closing tip for folks, because believe it or not, our time is just about up.
Don't think you have to take 10 years worth of classes to start. Just go for it. We offer classes all winter. Well, not all winter because I'm in Hawaii, but starting in January. And it's easier than you think. And the bees know how to be bees. You just have to give them a place to live, basically.
Okay, very good. Let's remind folks one more time some of those resources and your contact information if they want to learn more about overwintering bees in Alaska.
Okay, you can reach me at 907-622-1829 at my store. That's Regeneration Nutrition in Eagle River.
Your phone's going to be ringing off the hook.
Yeah, I'm not there today, but I will be there tomorrow.
Okay. Facebook, websites.
Yeah, Alaska, Sustainable Beekeeping Alaska Facebook page. The store has a Facebook page, also Alaska Bee Club Facebook and alaskabeeclub.com.
Okay, very good. Ma'am. Thank you so much, Nathan, for being my guest this morning on Ag Matters. I want to remind folks that they can hear the show rebroadcast again on Fridays from 12:30 to 1. And we'll have a new guest next week, 7:30 to 8 in the morning on Wednesday. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska.